Amen and amen. If you can kneel,
let's start with prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this Sabbath day. Thank you for keeping us safe and warm, especially out here in the Midwest when we're covered in ice on everything. Thank you for keeping the power on and everything else. It's not that bad, but thank you for keeping us safe when we go outside and for not letting us get hurt. Thank you for keeping my wife safe, too, when she was outside with the ice. Thank you for blessing everyone that's in attendance here and everyone that's on our prayer list, especially those we mentioned last night in the chat room. And thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that speaks today so that you alone are glorified. And thank you so much for loving us first and teaching us your truth and opening our eyes to it and blessing our hearts with a desire to learn more. And thank you for keeping a hedge of angels around us as individuals and as your son's bride. And if we are so worthy, Father, please let the latter rain fall upon us so that we can go forth and glorify you and then go home. And we offer this prayer to you in obedience and in the name of your son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, well, Sabbath blessings, everyone, and I want to welcome Annette up there on the top, and anybody else that pops in here. We get a lot of new people register for the conference room this week, and it might be because of the video, but, you know, the video's main thing was to help people figure out how to get in here, since we changed things when it comes to security. So it's everything's working much better now. All right. So, and if you want to read along, just scroll underneath the chat room, and there's the study. We're on lesson 30. This one's about testing the gifts, and we're on question number 9. So question number 9 asks the question, what does the accuracy of a prophet's predictions indicate? And the answer is found in Jeremiah 28, verse 9. And for those of you that are wondering, that are new, yes, these studies that we're doing here are the actual studies that we ask people to take that seek baptism and membership into the church. Because it lets everybody know, you know, try to keep everybody on the same page kind of a thing. And when you get to the study page, there's also the yellow sections. Like if you want to, if you do a certain amount of the studies, which, you know, the ones in yellow will baptize you, and then along with the promise, you'll finish the rest. And but we require at least those yellow, the ones that are in yellow. And okay, so Jeremiah 28, verse 9. It says, the prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. So what does that tell you of today's so-called prophets? I mean, even though men like Hal Lindsey, Pat Robertson, and Benny Hinn, and a host of others have actually published books and even declared on camera certain prophecies they claimed to be of God that never came to pass. I mean, Pat Robertson just recently did it. He apologized on camera for messing up again. And yet, these men are still considered prophets by literally millions of people. And why is that? Why? Because that's confusing when you think about this, you know, because the Bible's pretty clear about this. You know, if they mess up, they're not prophets. Well, I believe the reason these false prophets are still bathed in riches is because of how psychics were glorified in America. As one of the final prophecies in regards to the occult and stuff like that would be come to fruition, which has happened already. Look at Jean Dixon, for example. And I always bring her up, you know, because when I was growing up, she was the woman that was considered, you know, the prophet. Let me get this mic where it should be so I don't keep banging into it with my hand. But she died, by the way, in 1997 at the ripe old age of 93. which shows the long suffering of our Lord. This is why you see popes living as long as they do, and these Jesuits and whatnot, because the Lord loves them. He's trying everything he can to get to them before they die, but that's why they live as long as they do. But one of the reasons, anyway. And plus, let's say they're dead men walking, you know, the actual spiritual definition of a reprobate. But if they have power, Satan's going to keep them alive as long as possible. He's going to make sure that they, you know, that he doesn't allow accidents to come their way, or diseases, or whatever the case may be. So, but anyway, this woman, Jean Dixon, she was considered the most powerful psychic of the modern age by most and nearly every, you know, most people and nearly every media outlet known to man. Like I said, when I was a kid, I remember she was always on the news, you know. In fact, online sources state the following about her. I did a little bit of a biographic research on her, and this is a little blurb I got from... I have no idea where I got it from. I forgot to put the... I didn't put the source. Oh, well. I'm sure you could find it if you needed it. It says, Dixon reportedly predicted the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Which she didn't, but it's just like with Nostradamus, you know. Those court trains that he wrote are so vague and so, you know, gilded that just about anybody can fulfill them. It's just like with the Bible codes. I mean, you could take that software and dump a dictionary into it, and you're going to get the same so-called secret messages, you know. So it's just how anybody wants to look at it, and the devil will just, of course, you know, make them look at it. But this article says, in May 13th, 1956, or in the May 13th, 1956 issue of Parade magazine, she wrote that the 1960 presidential election would be dominated by labor and won by a Democrat, who would then go on to be assassinated or die in office, not necessarily in his first term. But it was his first term, and, you know, using the idea that assassinate or just plain die, you know, the guy gets sick and die, whatever. She later admitted during a 1960 election, she said, I saw Richard Nixon as the winner. She didn't think Kennedy was going to be it. And at the time made unequivocal predictions that JFK would fail to win the election. But see, that stuff's never widely published. They only pick and choose what they want to put out there to make people, you know, get, you know, to puff them up, as the elite call it. And so that way the people will lean towards that direction that she's a prophet. But even though she was dead wrong on Nixon and predicted the assassination was most likely to occur in the second term, it was Kennedy who won the election, and he was in fact assassinated, but it was in the first term. And even though she admitted she was wrong on two counts, the enemy of souls made absolutely sure she was to be renowned as the ultimate psychic. I mean, her career skyrocketed after the biography of her was released in 65. That was titled A Gift of Prophecy, The Phenomenal Jean Dixon. That's what it was called. And she was glorified so much that after her death, the Jean Dixon Museum was opened in 2002. So they're going to keep pushing that envelope as long as they possibly can. But what most of the media refused to tell anyone is that Jean Dixon was only 18% correct in all her predictions. Yes, that number did come out time and again by skeptics over the years, but their method of defense was to stage, put it forth that the average person has psychic abilities. This is what they said, okay? No, I just believe if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you, look out for this or that or whatever, right? You know, we have discernment. There's nothing that this psychic stuff is all a fall to all. But if memory serves me right, they claimed back in the 90s that most people are 8% correct when it comes to premonitions, and some that make money using crystal balls, as Jean Dixon, she often, you know, posed before cameras with crystal balls. Which is paganistic, demonic, and the whole nine yards, right? So, but most, like, you know, storefront kind of psychics are, you know, they're 12 to 13% correct, is what the scuttlebutt is on them, right? Let's see, they're there. But Jean Dixon was reported to be a whopping 18%, and so she was tagged the ultimate psychic because nobody was as accurate as she. You know, in other words, don't read your Bibles where the prophecies are 100% accurate. I mean, come on. That's just hard to believe. But Jean Dixon, she was 18%, right? But do you see the problem here? And I've mentioned this probably 100 times. Being 18% correct means she's actually 82% wrong. But nobody mentioned that. And I believe they glorified her so that the many false prophets on Christian pulpits today would be allowed some leeway when they make their little boo-boos. Because you got, I mean, it's prophesied. There's going to be all sorts of false prophets out there in our day today, and they're there. And so now that you got somebody like Jean Dixon that's paved the way, if you will, to make it somewhat acceptable to deal with the fact that, yeah, you're not always right all the time. Even though the Bible says a prophet is 100% correct. It makes it easier for the people to, look the other way, I guess. But since Dixon was so glorified, most people look the other way when Lindsay or Robertson or Hinn or anybody else makes these false predictions, and they look the other way because they don't read, or if they do read their Bibles, they just don't really trust them. In fact, that leads to the next question in the study. I don't know if I can find this. Well, maybe I could play this in here. Question number 10 is, what would inaccuracy of predictions indicate? Okay, because I kind of stepped all over that one earlier just a minute ago. So, but anyway, the answer is Deuteronomy 18, verses 21 and 2. And it says, and if thou, thank you, Brother Gorin. Good to see you there, brother. So Deuteronomy 18, verses 21 and 2 says, and if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Let's see if I can pull this up here real quick. I got two WAV files on my website, but I'm going to pull them up locally here off this my computer. Let me see if I can't. I'm going to have to use the file manager here, and I'll just turn it up. Maybe you can. Well, maybe I'll play it in with the. I'll let the microphone switch to. Maybe I'll just use the mic. It'd be easier anyway. So let me go to, check this out. This is the first one I have.
See if it comes. Hello, this is Nicholas.
All right, let me go up a little bit here. Okay.
But I'm telling you right now.
All right, let me back it up a little bit. This is a TPAC, I call it, truth provided audio clip I did years ago, so I kind of like intro it and stuff, but I want to get past what I'm saying, so hold on. Okay, here's all that funny music or whatever that he uses. All right, so let me turn this up and push the mic a little closer to the speaker. Now check this. This is Benny Hinn, by the way. Benny Hinn. This is what he said.
Many of you have known me for many years, but I'm telling you right now, things I hadn't said years and years and years, and years ago, I believe, hear this, I believe that Jesus, God's Son, is about to appear physically in meetings and to believers around the world to wake us up. He appeared after his resurrection, and he's about to appear before his second coming. A prophet has sent me.
Okay. Then he starts talking about some false prophet that he worships that died recently. And notice, if you will, that the demon controlling his tongue at this point literally goes so far as to mention Paul, but not by name. He mentions the fact that Jesus appeared after his resurrection, but it was a blinding light. Paul really couldn't tell what he was looking at. And the guys that were with Paul just crumpled in fear because of, it was an intense situation. When Jesus appeared to Paul and told him, that he was not only going to be chosen, but he's got to stop what he's doing. He literally said that Jesus was going to appear at his meetings. And this is around the same time. I got it somewhere else on the server, and I didn't seem, I forgot about it earlier, I guess. But there's also statements out there that Jesus is appearing in the deserts to Muslims. And I think he's the one that said it one time, too. So the prophecy did state they're going to say him in the inner rooms, these meetings, as well as in the deserts. Jesus said, don't go there. So they're just setting the stage. They're getting everybody's, you know, conditioned into, you know, embracing when Antichrist gets here and stands there like Jesus, you know. Yeah, they're just getting everybody ready. But but saying that, trying to okay the whole situation and saying Jesus is going to appear at his meetings, and then mentioning Paul is more or less to say, yeah, I know the Bible says that Jesus Christ does not show up after his resurrection. And most people know that Jesus is not going to appear until he splits the eastern sky. But hey, wait a minute. He did it when Paul, and that, you know, was walking on the road, you know, or maybe even on a horse on the way to Damascus. And so there you have it. I'm going to hang my hat on that one there. And so, and he runs with it. But here's another problem. He made the statement. It's been recorded. Jesus did not appear at his meeting. In fact, a little boy died at that meeting. Now, here's the next one. Let me see if I can get this one, too. I don't know if this is the one about the Muslims or if this is the one about the homosexuals. But let me get this one up. I might be introing it, too, so I'll have to look into it real quick.
Hello.
Yep, that's me again. So hold on. Let me get ahead of it. Okay, yeah. All right, here he is. All right. All right, let me turn it up.
That's history.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is shaking the world. Now, something else is happening that is, to me, awesome. Absolutely awesome. The Lord is physically appearing in the Muslim world.
Yeah, that's the one.
I'm telling you, Paul, I'm hearing it now more and more and more. Since we preachers cannot go there, Jesus is just going there himself. Since we preachers are not permitted to go in, he's just showing up himself. You know, the scripture says clearly that the Lord did appear, did he not?
Okay, now so he's going to go into Paul again. So he keeps using the same, you know, nail in the wall that he hung his hat on previously on the other quote. You know, because he knows the Bible says this is wrong. Jesus is not going to appear until he splits the eastern sky. But he keeps mentioning Paul to try to confuse the masses. Now, here's the thing. We know what the Bible says about the great delusion or strong delusion that's headed everybody's way. And this is par for the course here because if you look at it for what we see, we know what our Bibles say. But have you ever seen some of the videos on YouTube as to how many people show up at these Benny Hinn crusades? Because they think they're going to get healed and no one actually gets healed. People actually die afterwards. And they had these, you know, these big news reporters get up there and they made these videos and showed that, look, these kids thought they were, this one kid thought he was healed. He dies. This one kid thought that his eyes were healed. He's still blind. This one woman thought she was healed and her son were healed. They both died afterwards. So it's all just a bunch of falderall. But because of the excitement and the way they... It's all it is mass hypnosis or mesmerism, or and then he also uses NLP all over the place, just like the SDA pastors are now doing. I got that list on that one video I did years ago where over 200, well, now it's a lot more than 200, but the Seventh-day Adventist pastors are now using neuro-linguistic programming when they preach. Dwight Thompson is Dwight Nelson is infamous for that. If you look at some of the videos like where he says Allah is God and all that, watch his hands and watch how he moves around the stage and how he leans towards the people. And that's NLP. He grabs their attention and keeps them locked in so that he can pump anything he wants into their minds. It's just mesmerism. It's old, ancient, and demonic. But two things to note here. Jesus did not appear at the Kenya meetings that Benny Hinn said he would. Didn't appear. He did not come back with footage of Jesus on the platform. If I were to let that video or that audio continue to roll, you would have heard him saying that he's convinced that he's going to come back with videotape of Jesus Christ on the platform. And so he proclaimed a false prophecy on camera. These are just audio clips, but they were actually on TBN, you know. And so, but yet many still clamor to this guy's side because of the strong delusion. And number two, since he claimed Jesus was to appear in the deserts to the Muslims have become more and more violent towards Christians. I mean, one would think, if Hinn was correct, that we would see a mass conversion of Muslims. Still, we know this is all a farce because Jesus himself said in Matthew 24, verses 25 to 7, "Behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert," like Benny Hinn just said, "go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers," like Benny Hinn just said at his meetings, "believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west," in other words, you ain't going to mistake this one. You know how everybody's going to see it. Then Jesus finishes by saying, "So shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be." And so yet Hinn never mentions that passage when claiming Jesus is in the desert. I mean, there's also a video, and I saw this a while ago too, and I tried my best to try to zoom in on this video, and it's still on YouTube. I just don't remember where. I don't really care much for it. I got all I need to show that this man's dangerous. But there is a video of him inside a church claiming Jesus was appearing on the wall, and the image of Jesus, the lips of this image of Jesus, were moving whenever Benny Hinn spoke, as if Jesus was speaking through Benny and Benny was speaking through Jesus, and everybody in the church was going all sorts of crazy and saying, "Oh wow, look at that. We could see him on the wall, but Benny couldn't see it." And then all of a sudden somebody comes out from the back and says, "The little kids in the little kids church, they're seeing it on the wall too." And they're just making a big bunch of, you know, hoopla about this. And all of a sudden Benny Hinn actually goes to one of the cameras and looks through the viewer. And then he says, "Oh, now he could see it." And then it's ridiculous. And he also stated on camera that the Holy Ghost said to tell all of us to watch his people in Israel. This is what Satan has been doing for 2,000 years. Right? That's why I did that video about, who is Israel. Because if everybody keeps watching the dirt in a nation called Israel, if they keep watching that nation, they're going to miss the prophecies regarding us. We are Israel, according to the scriptures, Old, New Testament scriptures. Old Testament predicts, you know, what I like to call replacement theology, and so does everybody else. A lot of people don't like that, but hey, I'm going to go by which is written. I'm not going to go by with, you know, what they're screaming at me. And then, the prophecies are plain. We, the obedient people of God that believe in Jesus as Messiah, are now called Israel. I got a page and a video. I made a video about it too. And I actually updated the page with a section called Replacement Theology, where I show the Old Testament statements about the Jews losing their favored nation status. And then I show the New Testament declarations of such as well as some statements Jesus himself makes. And so it's not mistakable now. And that's why the email stopped too. I says, you know, once I put it out there, they stopped, but anyway, the majority of the people are being conned to ignore the true Israel and keep their eyes on the physical nation of Israel, wherein they hate Jesus. How can they be favored when they hate him? And yet this man says the Holy Ghost said his people are in the nation of Israel. And so Rome, under Satan's direction, creates false prophetic events to make it look like the nation of Israel that openly denies Jesus as Lord as a nation that fits in their 7-year tribulation prophecies. See, this is why, and this is another thing that's very confusing. And that's why I did that one book called The Rapture. It ain't no secret, and there is no 7-year trib after it either. I believe that's the last trick played on mankind. But a lot of these preachers, especially from the 80s and 90s, that stated that there's going to be a 7-year trib and all these certain things are going to happen during that period of time, where are they now? That half of the things that they said are going to happen after the rapture have already happened. They seem to have clammed up pretty good. And so, the people know this man made prophetic statements that never came true. And so they prefer the lie and remain in his church anyway. They know he lied. They know he made mistakes. Let's just say he didn't realize he lied. And they're still in his church. They love the lie so much that the books written in the 70s and 80s with outlines of false prophecy exposed as false are never mentioned ever again so as to keep their lie well protected. I mean, Benny Hinn has many claims, as do many mainstream preachers. And I don't want to share them all here, but I would like to share a list of false prophecies made by Pat Robertson, who is one of the richest and most popular TV preachers today. I saw him when he was in his late 70s working out. Like, he was like kind of like showing off. He's got like a workout, like a gymnasium, like, if you will, in his basement or something. I don't know. And it was this young reporter, and he was just showing her how he could lift weights and push him out with, you know, like, and then, you know, do the leg lift and all this other stuff. And my jaw dropped when I saw how much weight this guy was lifting. So it's no mistake he's staying alive as long as he possibly can to do as much as he can for the enemy of souls. But as I searched online, I found all these prophecies, so-called, of Robertson in scattered order. So none of this is in chronological order, what I'm about to share. But he stated on camera many times that God told him, I think this was in 2012. God told him, and he said this on camera, that Mitt Romney would win the election and we would have a financial boon in the nation. Not only did Romney lose, the economy tanked. And that's the one where he had to apologize. He also stated America would be hit with a tsunami in May of 2006. Well, we're still high and dry, and it's 2017 almost. He stated in March of 2006 that the Supreme Court would have another death. But they didn't. He stated that Jesus told him that Bush would pass Social Security reform, but he never did. He stated in 1980 that World War III was to begin before the end of the year. Yeah, back then. So, like I said, this ain't in chronological order. And so, we didn't have World War III. He also said the USSR would invade the Middle East, which it never did. He stated the world would end, literally end, in 1982. But yet this guy's still making millions with his 700 Club. In 1988, he said God told him he was going to be the next president. Remember when he ran for president? He said in his book, The New World Order, that J. Rockefeller was to be elected president in 1996, which, of course, never happened. This might be why he also said in 1996 that God told him Bill Clinton would not get a second term, but he did. I mean, this guy's really batting 1,000 when it comes to being wrong. In 1998, he stated that God would send earthquakes, tornadoes, and possibly a meteor to destroy Disney, because he was at Disney at that time. That never happened. He said terror attacks and some nuclear in nature would kill many people, millions, in the United States of America in 2007. Again, that didn't happen. He stated a few months ago, I think about 6 months ago, that Ben Carson, Seventh-day Adventist Ben Carson, you know, if he was a true Bible-believing Seventh-day Adventist, would never have run for political office to begin with or been anywhere near politics or politicians. But Pat Robertson said that this man, Ben Carson, would be the next president. And again, wrong. And then finally, he stated in 2014 that an asteroid was going to destroy the Earth in as little as 1 week. And we're still here, almost 3 years later. So, this is today's world, though. I mean, the question was, what would an accuracy of prediction indicate? Well, according to the Bible, inaccuracy proves, yeah, don't be afraid of them. Deuteronomy 18 is pretty clear. When they say the Lord spoke and nothing happens, then the Lord has not spoken. They're false prophets. And so don't let them bother you. Now, there is a difference between a prophecy and an agenda. We see a lot of Nostradamus stuff, and we see that that list, that, you know, that so-called Catholic prophet of Malachi that I mentioned on my John Paul II page, where I show how they say that this prophet named Malachi predicted all the popes. Well, he didn't. He used similar methods that Nostradamus used, about using like court trains, being extremely vague so just about anybody could fulfill them. Plus, to make the guy look like he's legit, when Ratzinger chose the name Benedict XVI, even though this so-called prophet said that he would pick a different name, he said that this particular pope would be fond of figs or something, which Ratzinger wasn't, but he put a fig leaf in his crest so that, you know, to uplift Nostradamus, to make him look like he's legit, even though Nostradamus has been dead for a while. And when you hear about the movies, I remember these movies came out in the 70s and 80s, because I used to get into Nostradamus when I was a kid. And Because like I said, I loved prophecy even as a little kid. And boy, was it confusing though. Because I found out later that the amount of books Nostradamus wrote, and he was a Roman Catholic, by the way, but the amount of books that he wrote could fill a two-car garage. But the only stuff you see is about the size of a small little paperback. You know? In other words, Jean Dixon's even better than him. And we know she's a false prophet. So all they did was, you know, pick the meat and threw away all the bones. And even there, they had a doctor sum up. I did a radio thing on this years ago where the Twin Towers. He was predicting the Twin Towers to fall, supposedly. But he never did. But what these people did, and I exposed it, I think I got it on my September 11th page, they actually took certain quatrains from Nostradamus, edited them, and then took one out of one section of the book and put them in another section of the book to make it look like they were right there together with each other talking about the Twin Towers, when in fact, no. Two different so-called prophecies on two different topics or subjects, but when they put them together, it kind of looked like it could mean New York City. So they're going to do what they do, and they're going to do what they can, and the people are going to let them. Because the people have already allowed them, like the book of Revelation stated, to let them become merchandise for them. In other words, you're sitting in the pew, you're warming it. Well, guess what? You are a tithe pump, and that's all you are. You're there to make them money. This is why they constantly pass the plate, which should never happen. They're constantly asking for donations, which should never happen on a pulpit. That's why we never do it. And you certainly would never see a plate passed, because it's your duty to tithe. You do what the Lord tells you to do. If you're getting fed, you tithe. And if you don't tithe, well, don't expect any blessings. It's, you know, I mean, we preach on it once in a while to let the people know their duty, but every 5 minutes, like these TV preachers, every time they do a broadcast, oh, no, they're in it for the money. They're preachers of filthy lucre. That's why they got the 501c3, or are now considered government agents. Because Lyndon Johnson came up with the idea, obviously hell inspired, to offer them a little bit more money off their tax bill if they just sign on the dotted line. And they went for it. And so now they have created an image of the beast. And then Bush gave it its life in 2006 on March 7th. July 7th? Or I think it was July. It was March 7th, 2006. Same date from 321 AD for the first Sunday law, by the way. So anyway, hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.